at that point, you're not there to play it safe. Like, if you're not taking risks, you're not competing.
You're empowering, you know? I mean, anybody who's done a CrossFit workout, you finish your CrossFit workout, and you're like, I'm on top of the world.
Yeah.
Like, a hunger for competition and, like, that super intense structure, routine. I still had that desire.
To listen to the way people feel and the motivations for doing the things that they did, it was like they were describing me to a T.
I'm not trying to solve everything for you, but I know that sometimes you just need somebody to listen.
Learned the most is how to fill my cup by filling others.
Welcome to the Hungry Dog Barbell Podcast. Join me as I talk with passionate people about their life's failures and successes, and most importantly, what keeps them hungry for more. What up, dogs? Welcome back to another episode of the Hungry Dog Barbell Podcast, joined by another dope guest in person again. We got Kyle Naylor. Is that what you're listening?
Yeah, it is.
Naylor?
Yeah.
It's like Taylor with an N.
It is.
There we go. What up, Kyle? How are you doing today, dude?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well.
That's
good. No, I appreciate you having me, man. Super stoked to just, shoot the shit.
Yeah.
You know, give your audience good listening.
Sure. Awesome. Dude, where do you live, Kyle? How was your drive over here?
It was good. So I'm actually in Chester Springs.
Okay.
Actually, I used to live just up the street.
Right.
In the DeKalb Apartments there, which I loved because you have access to everything.
Yeah.
You know? But I'm a little out. I think the older I get, I enjoy moving further and further out.
Like from where you're doing everything?
I love the peace and quiet.
Now, yeah.
You know, like, so the older I get, I want more of that. Where I enjoy the city life, but it's like, I need to hear the birds a little bit more than the cars.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Like, dude, sometimes I'm in here and I hear so much noise outside. I'm like, I couldn't live in Bridgeport. It'd be super loud.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly, man.
But you just kind of brought it up there. We used to live out here, dude, the way we know each other. We met at working at Lifetime in King of Prussia.
That's right.
How long has it been since you worked there?
I worked there for 3 years, I believe it was, but I left in February of 21, so 2021.
Yeah.
It's been over a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. That's actually crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Kind of doing some, a lot different things, right?
I did thoroughly enjoy working there.
Yeah.
And it was just a lot of, I need that potential. I can't have a cap kind of thing. So I enjoyed working there. I was an employee, but it just came to, and that's kind of where I geared into like what I'm doing now is because I realized, well, I have a knack for the business and the EQ aspect of dealing with clients and patients and building successful business. And so I was like, well, I could probably just do this on my own.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things is like that imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
And you feel like selling and they're all like, ew, it's
telling people their prices and stuff. Yeah.
Well, like, and that's where I'm like, well, pump the brakes. Cause you have to realize you're not just a car salesman, right?
Yeah.
You know, sorry for the car salesman that might be listening, right? But here you are an individual that can literally change lives, that can make a life better, healthier. Like, so you're not selling, you're providing a solution to them. And once you kind of realize that, then that can give you the confidence, the conviction, and hopefully get you over that hump of realizing selling is not it's not a bad word.
Not negative at all.
Providing a solution.
Yeah, providing a solution, helping people to get towards all their goals, right?
100%.
Because like when you're back to the car salesman thing, like someone comes in, they want a car, that's kind of the end all be all.
Yeah.
You know, like if they need a car that's going to do A, B, and C, then you're trying to provide a solution for them. Like if they're just looking for a whatever car, but if they need a little bit more, you're going to be like, okay, well, we have this right now. It just came in. It does this. You do the same thing as like when you're a healthcare professional.
Exactly.
If someone comes in, they just want to move. It's like, oh, okay, well, you can come in. We can just work out. Or if someone comes in, they're like, oh man, my health markers are terrible. I can't run around with my kids. You're like, oh, well, then I can provide these services that are going to enable you to do that, you know?
Exactly.
But like, and that's the advanced part of your career, right? If you're at that point.
And I think it's hard too because when you put it in perspective, sometimes people have your salesman or your, you know, some other type of profession, a job. You know, if you take a medical doctor into consideration or a nurse, that's all they focus on.
Yeah.
When you're a health and wellness professional, you really have two. You have to not only be good at what you're doing, providing your services, but you also have to be good at the sales
and letting people know. Right? Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You're really running that. So it's a very different industry, I think. Yeah.
That's dope. So off of that, like, do you have a title right now? Like if someone asks you, what do you do for a living? What would you tell
that's
them?
That's perfect. So I am a chiropractor by trade.
Yeah.
Right. And that's kind of where I started, right? Where I focused on helping clients and patients, but I've geared into helping health professionals now. So what I do is I just help health professionals make a bigger impact in their community with marketing management software and coaching.
Yeah.
That's literally the bottom line. And I think it's mainly because of what we were just talking about, the fact that we're very good at what we do. as far as, you know, the certifications, the education, the experience that we go through in helping our clients.
Yeah.
But we also have to run a business. And I say this all the time, and it's a shame when people don't understand the marketing or the business aspect of it. And it's not always your fault as a health professional. But if people don't know what you do, you can be the best in the world.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter because you can't help those people because they don't know who you are.
Right.
So the bottom line is my job and my goal, which I've had have a strong passion for, is just helping people get to know you as a health professional so you can impact more lives.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Like help people increase like visibility and brand awareness.
It's exactly. Yeah. And so we focus on like the brand awareness, marketing, management. So we have a full like marketing and management software.
Nice.
From the solo provider all the way up to, you know, the established small business that's running with several different providers, front desk, different, you know, massage therapist, chiropractor, physical therapist, yeah, whatever it may be. So we have all that. But, you know, the bottom line is looking at your business as a whole is, do you need a lot of people jump in and they just start taking clients and patients? It's how a lot of people start.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But then you realize, well, you never started branding yourself. You never had one target market or goal in mind, right? So it's like then that starts playing into the marketing. And then that starts playing into your entire, you know, spiel on sales and how to provide a solution. What solution to
right.
who, you know, so we kind of look at it as a whole and provide solutions for that. Yeah.
That's awesome. So how did you get into like chiropractor as a trade? Like does being a healthcare professional, like running your family?
Not at all. Actually, you know, my mom dealt with insurance. My dad's in IT. My brother's a recruiter, you know, so, no, I'll try and make a long story as short as possible.
Go ahead. We got time, dude.
Because when I was 12, I was actually diagnosed with Crohn's disease. Mm. And so that's an autoimmune disease. You don't just cure that.
Right.
You just come back from that. However, that's what I was thought, right, to believe, especially with our typical healthcare system,
and, yeah,
which is really a sick care-based system, right? We focus on management more than actual solutions.
Yeah.
So within that, that's kind of where it almost opened my eyes to everything. And I thought I just had to go through that horrible loop of just, you know, a cycle of pain here, cycle of pain there, putting my life on hold, not being able to, you know, show up for a baseball championship, show up for basketball tryouts, right? Showing up to family friend events because it was just holding me back. And then as I went along, I got older, I realized I'm the one that needs to be responsible. I need to take control of my life. Like nobody, number one, cares as much as I do.
Yeah.
And then number two, nobody's going to take action as much as I can. So when I was 15 into 16 years old, I really started focusing on health, you know, beyond just athletics, right? Beyond, you know, kind of making the biceps look good. But it was more so like nutrition was huge. I stopped drinking soda. You know, I stopped drinking or eating fast food. And actually, I went a whole span of, you know, 8 or 9 years without having any soda or any fast food.
That early, like 15?
Yeah, was just so strict. And actually, that was super hard.
Yeah.
Because my family didn't eat horrible. It's not like we had fast food all the time or we drank soda all the time. But it was something where, you know, I just didn't have it at all. And sometimes in the beginning, I remember they look at me, oh, just have it, Kyle. Like, oh, come on, right? But like when you really want something, you have to go against the grain. You just have to. That's anything in life, right? I mean,
right.
You know, I don't have to tell you. But with that, that whole just discovery and experimenting process, because with your health, you know, they say Crohn's is individual, but every issue is individual. So you need to really find your stressor.
Yeah.
Right? Because how I kind of live my life and my practice and how I treat, you know, my clients and patients is stress leads to dis-ease, which leads to inflammation.
Mm.
You have some inflammation, some pain going on in your body. You have to figure out what that stressor is.
Yeah.
Nutritional, chemical, physical, emotional, right? There's so many different stressors. So that was my journey, figuring out what was the stressor in my life.
Yeah.
And once I figured that out and was eating healthy and, you know, fitness, you know, going to the gym became part of my life, I overcame it. I weaned myself off all medication. I consulted my medical doctor at the time, but he just recommended against it. And I'll tell you, that was probably one of the most, one of the scariest moments of my life was when I said, I'm not going to take my medication anymore.
And he's recommended against it?
Yeah. And it was mainly just because I finally got to a point where I was in remission, finally, for a few years now.
Yeah.
And I was still taking this medication. And I was thinking to myself, well, I have this healthy lifestyle that I've built, this amazing foundation
yeah.
that I think is strong enough to hold. And I was like, let's do this. And it was super scary. I literally thought the first day that I didn't take my medication, it was going to kick back in.
Yeah, shit.
And for those of you that don't know what Crohn's disease is, obviously it's an autoimmune disease, but you get ulcers in your stomach. So it's a lot of just like really tough pain, you know, stomach pain, yeah. Nausea, diarrhea, stuff like that. Sorry for, you know, maybe TMI there, but it's rough because you don't always know when it's going to hit. And yeah. It really does like just hit you whenever.
Yeah. And if you like go off your medicine and like a doctor just told you, they're supposed to know, right? Doctor just told you, hey, I highly recommend it against this, right? I know you're feeling better right now. And I think you may have the answers. You could be like sitting around like, is it about to happen? Is it about to happen? Am I going to wake up tomorrow in terrible pain? That's tough,
literally,
dude.
Literally what I did.
Where'd like you like first month. Get that dedication from though?
To be honest with you, I think it's a matter of like when you're at the bottom, right? You can't fall any further.
Yeah.
And you know, and that's why I, where my passion and my goal in life has come from is really helping. Because my sole purpose, I feel like, at least for me, what I've discovered is I truly want to help people realize that, you know, building a healthy foundation can allow you to live a life of fulfillment and happiness. Because we're always looking for that.
Right.
But imagine living life and doing things where there's nothing of your health that holds you back. I mean, you don't think twice about it. You get to just do it. You just get to live it. You just get to enjoy it. And that's kind of obviously where it led me down the path of, you know, I was actually a business major in college. And then I was just reading all these books, and I realized these were the textbooks for the exercise science major. Mm. I was like, well, clearly in the wrong spot.
Yeah.
And I remember my accounting professor, and by the way, I had like a, I think like a 2.0 GPA at that point, because I just didn't care. Like,
yeah, you weren't into it.
Yeah. No matter how hard I tried. And my accounting, it was accounting two, the second semester, and he just goes, if you guys aren't really into this, if you're sitting in this chair and you don't feel like this is for you, you're going to have a bad semester.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, and that's when I sat there and just nodded my head and I just never went back to class.
Yeah.
And I switched my major, and then I was getting all A's.
Yeah.
Like, it was like...
You're probably ahead of the curve because you had read everything before already.
Well, I can't even say... I think it was just a passion. I just enjoyed it. I wanted to read. When they were like, hey, read it. You know, listen, guys, I'm telling you right now, I am not one to sit there and just go through school and education. Like, you know, I was a C student through high school. Like,
right.
I just didn't love school or education until I loved it, you know, what I was being taught. That's when it became a passion. And then after that, I thought, you know, what do I want to do? You know, I could have been a personal trainer, and I was for a little bit. Even built up like online business doing that as I was coaching. In the meantime, it was just a very, very short period. I thought chiropractic was for me. Never been to a chiropractor, by the way, before that.
You never knew one?
Never knew one. Oh, never shit. Been to one. But I was looking at different avenues. And it just came down to, you know, fitness and working out has always been my life. So it was like, okay, physical therapist. Well, I've been to a couple, you know, through my heydays, you know, as an athlete.
Yeah.
And it was a matter of, well, they just give you the exercise. Hey, not knocking any physical therapist there. But I realized as a chiropractor, my scope is a little bit broader. And with my exercise and fitness background, I can do just the same amount.
Yeah.
Right. I didn't want to go into the medical field because I realized what I've accomplished, what I've done, I don't want to do with medicine. I don't want to do with management. I want to do with proper solutions.
And yeah.
That's kind of where I just fell in love with the health and wellness industry and have a passion for it. And yeah.
That's dope. How long when you were like studying exercise science did it take you to figure out that you wanted to be a chiro?
You know, that's a great question. I don't even think early in the years, you know, you're looking at different professions,
right.
But I don't think even early in those years, I was like, yeah, I want to be a chiropractor. But I knew that when I graduated, and it might have been the last like 2 years when they were like, hey, you guys have to figure out your
career. Yeah, figure out what's
yeah,
next.
When I was younger, because of me going, you know, through that whole journey with Crohn's, I always had these fun facts and teaching people about health and fitness, even when it wasn't my thing, right?
Yeah.
I wasn't educated on it, or I was self-educated. And people would always just say, okay, Dr. Kyle. And I feel like that was something that was instilled in me, you know, and I've always had, you know, always had a desire to maybe become a doctor.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, what doctor do I want to become kind of thing? And I realized a chiropractor just gave me the most options for doing what I personally wanted to do to help people.
The biggest scope. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's what happened. And, you know, I was, hey, let's become a doctor.
Yeah. So, damn, dude. That's dope. Dr. Kyle, you become like that personality, right? Like sometimes people give you nicknames and you become of that essence.
Yeah, you do. Especially if you, you enjoy it and you push it further, you
yeah.
know, because once you start to like it and you kind of get that self image, you know, and it's great though, because it pushes you and it ingrains into your subconscious
right.
to really push. And I have to say, by the way, that's the number one reason I keep pushing people to like build that healthy foundation and
yeah.
take care of their health prior to something going wrong, is because I don't think I would have ever become a doctor. I mean, the schooling, the full-time schooling, the stress, I would have never made that through if I still continued to have Crohn's flare-ups.
Yeah, just seriously.
You know, and then on top of that, actually, it was nice because I went out to California for that, and I did modeling and acting. I was actually in 13 Reasons Why, which, yeah, so the first season, that's my, you know, Hollywood claim to fame.
my walk of fame that you're waiting on the star. Yeah, yeah, that's dope.
But it led to, I just want to experience as much as I possibly can, and I don't think I could just throw mud at the wall
yeah.
if my health was not in order. Because you're worried about that, and you're not worried about living your life, accomplishing your dreams, right?
Yeah.
So.
Damn, dude. So taking it all the way back, when you were first 12, like, were you playing sports already? Were you already involved, like, the athletic world?
Yeah, yeah. I played baseball and basketball were my main sports.
Yeah.
I dabbled in others like football. Actually, I think that was maybe the only other sport, because baseball and basketball took up a majority.
Yeah,
of
all three seasons. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, baseball, I would be on, and this is even at a young age, on like 5 to 7 teams within a summer fall. I would maybe have a few months off into winter. So I did enjoy it. And then it came to a point where, you know, I think I was maybe 17, injured my knee. The doctors couldn't figure out the MRI, x-ray. They just didn't give me a diagnosis for
Damn.
The reason why I couldn't run, because of my knee.
Damn.
Sharp shooting pain. And so, well, I was just out that whole season. I came back, obviously, more rusty
yeah.
you know, than before. And I just kind of, I guess, lost a little bit of passion for it. You know, I enjoyed the more so the competition, but then I realized I started, you know, wanting to branch off, because my whole life was just baseball. So I wanted to branch off and just learn other things and almost compete with myself, right? So I got into doing like a physique show, got into learning piano, guitar. I just went every
All
which way,
because yeah.
I just wanted to do stuff.
Did you just jump in those things solo? Like, you were just like, I want to go do a physique show, I want to go play piano. Like, you never had anyone that was like a mentor to you, that was like, you know, you see that person doing that, then you want to do it kind of thing?
Yeah. No, I can't say I didn't. I mean, you always have your influences.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Probably not like a direct mentor, but I think just growing up, like, in my household, music is a huge thing.
Right.
And so just learning an instrument, I was like, yeah, let's do this.
Let's do it, yeah.
You know, in school, they always push, you know, the violin and stuff. And I don't know, you know, for me, I'm a kid, I'm a teenager. That's not cool enough.
Right.
I need the guitar.
Yeah.
So, you know, I learned that. And then the physique was mainly, that was after college, though. But within that, you know, I'm 6'3 and 150 pounds graduating high school. My friend said if I stood sideways, I would disappear. Okay. So, like, you know, but I met this guy who, like, brought me through. He was huge, benching, you know, 405 for reps, not on anything, by
yeah.
the way. And he was actually on the soccer team. He was the soccer goalie, right? Like, mind blown.
Yeah, benching yeah. 405, yeah. probably running like a 530 mile.
What are you doing on the soccer field,
That's
bro?
That's crazy.
But, yeah, so, and he took me through, and, you know, in that first year, that was like 30 pounds gained of muscle. And again, with my health background, like, I was still not drinking soda. Although that time in college, I was drinking beer, funny enough, right?
Yeah.
So not soda, but I would drink
there.
Beer.
I've been there. When I first got into health and wellness, I'm like, you know what, bro? That beer or that soda, I can't do it. Yeah. Hand me a beer, though.
Hand me a beer. Well, I think there's a difference, right?
Yeah.
The beer's going to lead to an experience. That soda I'm having socially,
yeah.
I know it's just straight liquid sugar. You
yeah.
know, there's no point, so.
Like the dude Corey Gregory, if you ever heard of him, like, big-time fitness guy,
yeah.
Like, on social media, he's always talking about only time you should be consuming alcohol is if you're going to get laid afterwards.
I couldn't agree more.
Right? You know, it's like experience, just
yep.
like you're saying, you know?
Yeah, it's just, what's the point? And, you know, even now it's funny because as I get older, I always tell my wife, though, the summer is the worst because socially I have more beers than I ever do. Cause it's like, you're always going out at a sit outside at a restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need to have a nice beer outside. And I'm like, okay, that's when you need to check yourself.
Right.
So I can only limit myself. You know, I need to stop having like four or five, you know.
Yeah. I went to lunch like middle of the day, Wednesday, like right down the street, beautiful day. And I was like, fuck, I'm probably going to have beers. And I was so glad that no one else ordered a beer before it got to me. And I'm like, all right, cool, cool. Just stick with the water.
Stick with water. Yeah. H2O.
Yeah. First person that said beer, I was like, I know I'm going to get it if someone got one.
But. And I'm a hype man too sometimes. So I feel like one person just needs to, you know,
push it a little bit, right?
Lunchtime turns into a great time.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. Yeah. That's dope, dude. So with Crohn's, like, that didn't stop sports at all? What do you, like, from 12 to 16?
It didn't stop. And I think that's one thing, I was very lucky to be in a household that would still push me to do that stuff.
Nice.
And I say that mainly because a lot of other individuals I've talked to with Crohn's or colitis or IBD, IBS, you know, whatever it may be, I realized that at a young age, there's actually a lot of like depression that sets in. And I feel like I might have had that a little bit, but not enough to, you know, take it further to see someone about it. And I think that's important to state mainly because the individual, my friend at the time who had it, got diagnosed after me, had it worse. He would be on steroids. He'd have to do an IV, like every day. And he said during that time he had such a struggle. And then I talked to him during the pandemic and he said he's been issue free for over 7 years now.
Damn.
I'm like, wait, there's no way. He had it way worse. I thought maybe I got out of it because I didn't have it as bad.
Yeah.
He had it way worse. And I'm like, why do you think? And a lot of it led to meeting his wife. And the question came up was, how are you feeling today? Great. Good. Let's go do something. Whereas you start building that negative mindset and that negative environment where your family is always asking you, how are you feeling today? Are you okay today?
Yeah.
So if I ask you, and I do this actually a lot with my patients, and that's why I went this route, because I feel like a lot of that experience leads to me being able to help my clients and my patients.
Yeah.
Is when I ask you to not think about a pink elephant, what do you think about?
Pink elephant.
Yeah, you can't. Take away the negative, right? Your mind doesn't think about the negative.
Right.
So if you're always having family members or doctors and people telling you about, well, how's the pain? You know, can you do anything today because of the pain? Are you feeling bad today? That's all you're thinking about all the time. Do you think that's going to go away? No.
Like the first thing I just thought when you said, how is the pain? Is like, if I put myself in their shoes, well, how is the pain? And just like you're saying, that negative connotation is in there, pain, right? Yeah. Even if it's a 1, 2, 3, you know, like you're putting yourself in the shoes of, wow, like I'm in pain.
Yeah,
you know?
That's it all the time. And he said once he moved out and nothing, you know, nothing on the parents. I always say this because it's got to be hard. Now I have a kid, I have an 18-month-old baby girl, and it's like, oh, you just care so much.
You want to protect them.
Yeah, so how are you today, right?
Yeah.
So it's not, but you do have to, and I think that was the biggest change when I realized, hey, I'm 12 years old. Actually, I think I might have been, again, 15 when I was like, there was a switch. I need to change. I need to do something about this, was the mindset. It was, I got to stay positive. I got to stay strong, and I don't care what happens or what other people say.
Right.
I need to do this for myself.
Or I have to do this,
Or life's going to suck.
Yeah.
Life is going to be shit if I can't do what I want to do in life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So on the topic of mindset, how long did it kind of sit in you? Like, I might be fucking up by getting off the medication. And like, what point did you realize, like, oh, I think I made the right move? You know, was it right away?
Not at all. Because, like you said, you know, earlier, like, oh, you might be sitting there thinking about it. That was probably a good month. Oof. Trickled into another second month, third month.
Yeah.
And I do have the mindset, and my wife will vouch for me on it. Even my brother, I have the mindset sometimes I just say, fuck it. I believe you need that mindset, at least to experience stuff, you know? So that was when I was sitting there. I remember looking at my pills. I had a whole bunch of jars left, you know, or, you know, capsules left of them. And, it's like, fuck it. Is it going to be now or never?
Yeah.
Now's a good time because I can always go back on them. Or if I have a flare up, right, I can always figure this out.
Yeah.
But fuck it. I'm not going to wait till later in life. Nothing's going to change. If anything, it's going to be more stressful, more baggage, more responsibility. So, fuck it. That's what I said. And then every day I would wake up and be like, good. But I was super strict, like, eating, because I remember I wouldn't even have, like, hot wings.
Oof.
Right? Because I'm like, I'm off my medication. But then I started slowly creeping into...
Ease it back in, yeah.
Yeah, and here I am. I have pizza and ice cream every Friday. It is Friday today. It is Friday. Pizza and ice cream every Friday, for sure.
That's dope, dude. So back up to the future, right? You start doing a little personal training, like start getting a chiropractor. What's like your first time in the field, like past personal training, of doing some chiropractic work?
You're saying, what is my first time being a chiropractor, practicing as a chiropractor?
Yeah.
We did like an internship and stuff. And it's funny you actually bring that up, because I was just thinking about this the other day, how my perspective has changed in the way I treat. And who I'd like to treat and stuff like that. Meaning, I remember when I was first graduating, I was just simply thinking a chiropractor needs to just adjust.
That's I was going to say adjust people, and then yeah.
Yeah, like if you're going to do exercise, you can pass it off to somebody else who's certified to do exercise, right? Because we adjust. We're good at that. That's our thing. I think chiropractors only adjust. And that's where I worked. I worked at like a mill. They would just go room to room to room. As a doctor, you would spend maybe 5 minutes tops with
high turnover, yeah.
Rack them and crack them.
Yeah.
And I have a whole, different understanding of that, which can be saved for another time as far as like the system. And I feel like it pushes it that way with insurance and reimbursement and stuff like that.
Management.
Exactly. But it came down to realizing, yeah, these people, okay, sure, they're feeling better, but they're not really getting better.
Yeah.
And I'm also not doing what I can. I'm in a room for 5 minutes with them.
Yeah.
And that's
like what they'll be back in a month kind of thing.
Yeah. And that's what's wrong with our healthcare system, though, is we're all quantity-based over quality. I mean, how long have you spent with a doctor when you went to go see one? You're waiting in a room for 15 minutes. The nurse comes in and checks you, and then the doctor comes in and says this, that, and the other thing, and then you're good to go.
Yeah.
It's like, well, wait a minute, doc. You know?
They read the file real quick, come in and see you, like, usually without ever seeing you first. You know, if it becomes your primary care doctor, then, you have a certain rapport with them, but still don't spend a lot of time with them.
Yeah, and you only have the rapport because you stick with them over the years because you found them and you don't want to change doctors because they're a pain in the butt, right?
Right.
Like you don't stick with them because they're the greatest on earth.
You know? Move and then you stick with your doctor that's still 40 minutes away from you.
Yeah, because they take your insurance or they're, you know, so it's And with that, and that's why with the health and wellness industry, I love it because we're so much more on EQ-based, that emotional connection. I mean, our industry is built off relationships. And just realizing that, I think, especially with all the science, the research coming out now, where your thoughts, right? I mean, what you're thinking, your psyche, is almost the biggest difference when it comes to whether it's success, whether it's feeling good, whether it's getting out of pain, right?
Yeah.
There's just so many things on that. So if you can just build a legit relationship, and I'll say this as a joke too, because sometimes, we quote unquote, we'll call chiropractors maybe quacks or, other pseudoscience stuff. And regardless of what the science says, sometimes hugs make a difference.
Seriously.
Now, I don't want to come off as a chiropractor saying that's what, but
like a hug will fix you. Yeah, no, that's not what you're saying.
But when it comes to it, and I'm very evidence based. However, I don't follow it to a T because evidence, it's just simply research. It's just simply science. And the one thing we know about science is it's never 100% true.
Yeah,
it changes.
It evolves. Yeah.
All the time. Exactly. So I also think about the clinical side of things, or the applicable side of things. How is that research, how is that evidence going to help my client or help my patient? And it just comes down to, it might not be applicable. And maybe they just need someone to hear them out. Mm. And that's sometimes a lot of like what happens, of a lot of that goes into getting an individual better. Because you hear them out also leads to the physical aspect, where now you have a true understanding of what's going on. Medical doctors, sometimes they don't, right? And nothing against medical doctors.
They're just seeing what's different on the sheet, like we talked about earlier. Yeah.
I mean, you listen to someone. The number one thing that people would say every time they came into my door, and I built, again, in Lifetime, I built the cash clinic for them. So I was out of network.
Right.
To doing 20K recurring a month in 6 months' time. And I did that mainly because, again, it was that connection, the relationship. I listened to people when they first came in the door. First thing they would say when they were leaving and I would schedule them for their assessment was, I never was able to tell my entire story.
Mm.
Like, you listened. I was able to tell you everything. I feel like you truly took that to heart.
Right.
Because I did.
Yeah.
The biggest advice I can tell any health professional is that listen, because anybody's problem that they're coming in with, whether you're personal trainer, you know, people are trying to lose weight or gain muscle, whether you're a chiropractor trying to get someone out of pain, is they're not here to see you to get out of pain or just to lose weight. They're here to make themselves happy, to have confidence on the beach again, to be able to pick up their kid again.
Yeah.
So it all comes down to listen to them and realize that their problem is the biggest thing in their universe right now. If you treat it as such, you're going to make the deepest connection possible.
And that's why they're there. Yeah. Right? And that's why you're there also. You know?
That's why when I left, I have people after the pandemic not seeing me in like a year and a half to 2 years.
Yeah.
Going to other chiropractors saying, no, they were hunting me down because they wanted to, they were like, I can't be seen by anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And those people, they follow you even if you kind of transition away from being just a chiropractor, right? They follow you to the next thing because they're like, oh, no matter what service he's providing, he listened to me, yeah, right? And I can feel good around this person.
Yeah.
You know? Next question I have for you, how did you get the job at Lifetime? How did you get involved?
Yeah, oh, that's a good question, actually, because I feel like, and I was like this prior to, is I kind of just would fill out applications or apply.
Yeah.
But this was one where I was living down the street, and I realized I wanted to move. And I went in there, and I saw the facility, and I knew no one was in there. But prior, I saw them building, building the whole foundation.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, no, I want to work there. Yeah. I don't know if they have a chiro there or not, because I didn't. I was like, hey, do you guys want a chiro? And they reached out to me and said, oh, we want one for the Princeton area. You know, this is not yet built. We're not yet ready.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I'm not driving to Princeton. but then I just kept at it, and then I kept pushing. And sure enough, that's when they were like, yeah, okay, cool. Let's, you know, get you an interview with the CEO. Let's see if you're good for this gig. And yeah, that was it. And it's funny. I mean, this, I feel like I go off in full philosophical or like, you know, deep tangent sometimes.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
But like you make me reflect a lot with these questions as far as like the success. And I got that job because I wanted it. Because
right.
I reached out over and over again. When I was in California, I actually used to talk to a lot of like models or actors that have been in the industry forever. And they're like, well, how did you get that, you know, gig on 13 Reasons Why? How did you, because I was represented by one of the top talent agencies in San Francisco
right.
When I lived in NorCal. I didn't have any experience. I was a nobody. But what I did is as soon as I moved to San Francisco, I reached out to about 50 to 70 different photographers to shoot with.
Right.
And I didn't have money. I didn't have like, you know, even $500 to my name to pay somebody to shoot. But I was like, hey, we can do this to build each other's portfolio.
Yeah.
Well, I ended up getting in contact with a guy that is a professional, and he chooses one person every 6 months to shoot and build up and introduce to talent agencies if they have what it takes.
Right.
Right. Kind of thing. And that's where he introduced me, and that's when I started getting represented. But like I was the one who reached out.
Yeah.
Don't let stuff come to you in life. Like, go get it. And I see you. You do the same thing. You get it. You establish.
You got to go do it, dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to keep striking until the iron gets hot.
That's it. You live once, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you live once. And whether it's bad stuff that happens to you, whether it's good stuff that happens to you, that's all an experience.
Right.
All an experience, right? So.
People got to, like, really get used to not getting your way right away, especially, right?
Oh, yeah.
And keep going. Like, you're going to fail a whole lot. Like, that is the number one thing that I see people that, like, don't last in any kind of industry, not just, like, fitness professional, like, media, anything like that. It's like, they'll try a few times, and it's like, what? I didn't make it yet? You know? Like, this isn't super successful yet? It's like, dude, what? Like, I run the events here, right? And like I just put on the Super Total competition, like which is probably my main one. This is the third year putting it on. The first year was just an in-house one.
Yeah.
The second year, people from outside came in, but still was like unofficial. I competed in it as well as ran it, right? This year, it was an uber success. Like so many people, I had like 60 people competing in it. You know, there's no way, it was 2-day event. There's no way that I could have competed in it because it was too much going on.
Yeah.
People probably would have stopped after the first year.
Yeah.
You know, second year, I did it again. Didn't make any money. I lost money, right?
Like, tends to happen.
People would have stopped after that, you know? It's like, they didn't. You got to see the vision. Like, okay, I'm doing this to do something else.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, so I love that story. Yeah, you got the persistence. It's the biggest thing.
Right.
And that's, I think, a way to help yourself along is, you know, you always want to set goals, right? You have your small, your short-term, your little small goals that you can accomplish to keep pushing forward. But the one thing I end up doing myself and even for my patients, I've geared it toward my patients because a lot of times it's like your clients too, you know, achieving the success or accomplishing their goals. It's just sticking with it.
Mm.
But how do you take out the emotional process, right? Because when you get emotional, like, oh, I can't do it, or you have that self-talk, that self-doubt, that's when you kind of start giving up, when you bring that emotion into it.
Yeah.
If you make it more of a process, then you just get up in the morning, you just do it.
Yeah.
Just like putting on your pants, right? Doesn't matter. I mean, if you're having a bad hair day, you still do your hair.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Whatever it is, but you still have those bad days or good days, but you still do it. Going to the gym, you've built a habit. It doesn't matter if you have a crappy day, you're getting in there, you're still doing
it. One day, like, go to the gym, we'll go to the gym today. It's Monday.
Exactly. You know, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And so, again, it's around building a habit. And so, if you can make it a process, like one of the little tricks I use with my clients is, and again, this will be different, like in a personal trainer might have to, you know, do it a little bit differently, but as a chiropractor, I say, okay, I microdose your exercise. So I want you to do it more frequently. I want 5 to 6 sets throughout the day, okay? Yeah. Not just one, because I want them to continuously move. But it's like, whoa, that's a lot. Okay, great. When can you do it? Because it's going to take you maybe a minute to 2 minutes of movement. When do you think you can do it?
Yeah.
And I don't mean like, oh, in the morning, oh, in the afternoon. No, I mean like, is this when you wake up?
Yeah.
Or is this after breakfast? Is this, you know, right after lunch? Is this right before you go to bed?
Yeah.
Tell me the time that you can do it consistently. What days? Great. Now we're going to set an alarm in your phone.
Yeah.
Take it that much further. Do the same thing in your life when you're accomplishing something. I mean, you just get up. I plan everything, you know, for the week, what I want to accomplish, what I want to do, focus on that number one goal kind of thing, right?
Right.
But then I block schedule. I say, okay, to accomplish that, I need to get this, that, and the other thing done.
Yeah.
I'm putting that in my schedule. So when I wake up, I look at it, that's what I need to do.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit how I feel, right? It's getting done. It has to get done. And then you realize once you build that process and kind of do that reverse engineering,
yeah,
you just realize, wow, I'm so much further than
I... Like, hey, I'm doing this.
Yeah, and it's just like throw mud at a wall, right?
Have that big goal and then like, okay, these are the non-negotiables I have to do because I want this goal, you know?
And make it part of your life.
That's awesome, dude.
So...
So off of that, man, I think a good thing to talk about next is like, so how'd you start Cheery? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, Cheery. Yeah. Good job, man. So, yeah. Well, because people assume, as I'm a chiropractor, people assume it's Kyrie. Cheery. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I love that you said that. And Cheery, just because, you know, we always be healthy, be happy, be cheery.
Oh, dope.
You know, I love that. And that started, man, that's a great story. I went through my mentors and coaches, you know, I've been through a whole bunch, and just met a lot of people along the way where I've wanted to always build the lifestyle that I've wanted, right? You kind of, again, go after what you want, try and make it happen. And, I've always wanted to kind of, you know, help health professionals, but also build something that was big. I just wanted to try
right.
this thing. And so I'm talking to, at the time he was a friend, he's my best friend's wife's cousin's husband. There you go. So anyway, he's a friend. Yeah. And so there was this party and we were talking in the kitchen for like five. I mean, we didn't even party. We were just drinking and talking for like 5 hours straight.
I've been in bad times like that. Right? Bad situations. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's a different level where, you know, you get your mindset and you meet someone that's
like,
so, and he was successful himself. And, so I was like, hey, do you mind coaching me? He's like, yeah, I've had, you know, some time. I was like, just 1 hour a week. Do you mind coaching me as far as just like keeping my mindset on track, right? Almost accountability, but also teaching me things as well as far as business. Because again, as a health professional, yeah, I did my other businesses and I've grown, but it's like, I didn't always know. I've always seek that knowledge, right? And so sure enough, the pandemic hits and he knew I was doing online coaching at that point as I was working at Lifetime. And then I just told him, you know, I was supposed to go mobile and into corporate wellness. Well, corporate wellness kind of, you know, took a shit when the pandemic hit. So I was like, okay, switched it up to online coaching and mobile visits. And I was like, you know what? I wanted to build in the Philadelphia area, just a mobile practice, but also, you know, can be on site, but have a network of trainers, massage therapists, dietitians, right? A network of health and wellness professionals that are working together.
Yeah.
And then we're just sitting there. And we're just, you know, talking, discussing, and he's like, well, you're going to do all this? I'm like, well, at some point I would like the freedom. I don't want to be doing that myself all the time. And then we're just like, why don't we just make an app for it? And that was it. And then, I mean, literally the next week I talked to 50 different developers. Then I got on meetings with 20 different, I mean, this happened so fast.
Yeah.
I don't even think I was ready for it. So it was great. And then by the way, to let you know how fast and, this climb, we got done this past year with the development. And so this new year, you know, we're not positive yet at all. You know, we're actually still building our network in the Philadelphia area. And then we'll start promoting and advertising within this next month.
Yeah.
So just to let you know, it's not like it came out of nowhere. I wasn't in a quote unquote Uber success, right?
Nah, dude, I remember when it was first starting, you know. Yeah,
but it's super cool. And the app itself, right, it just helps health professionals with the management and the marketing, because when we're running things, we're wearing 7 different hats. It's a lot. Your focus, you know, should be on your clients and the quality. So to maintain that, we want to help you. And so, because a lot of times with the management, people don't always realize that, even especially for health professionals, is everybody always wants leads. But at the same rate, if I gave you 10,000 leads, but you didn't know how to close them, mm-hmm. if you didn't know how to engage them appropriately, if you didn't know how to manage them and keep them on for retention, because your success comes off of compounding, small wins compounding over time.
New leads and maintaining your current.
Those 10,000 leads, you just wasted your time, you wasted my time, you wasted money. Like, so that's why we wanted to make a management and marketing where it's like, yeah, we want to market, but if I can just bring you even just 3 solid leads,
right,
3 clients per month, that compound over the next 6 months, well, now you just have a full-time business that you can grow, kind of thing, right? And so within the application, now we have 2 different softwares that we use. We have the Cheery app, which is both a user-facing and a provider-facing, meaning the providers use it, they're scheduling, you can create plans, you can do soap notes, you can even do virtual calls on there. And we have a mobile app and a desktop application as well. Right, you can even do messaging, so you can send messages, voice messages.
Right, the same app, yeah.
Yeah, but the other thing within the app, what's cool about it is that's all your management right there, but it engages your clients. Of course, you have the notifications or reminders that go out that you don't have to worry about, because that's a lot of time. The plans that schedule in advance, so you don't have to keep scheduling them, right? But then on top of that, an internal network. So I'm on the app as a chiropractor, we have another chiropractor, right? We have other massage therapists, personal trainers. If I'm working with one of my clients, I can actually just within the app message my client and refer them a personal trainer or a massage therapist. Because the referral,
that's a big part of the business.
Yeah. I mean, word of mouth all the time. But at the same time, what's important is for that client is they have now a team of professionals working for their same goal. Health professionals, right, that are on the same side, have the same goal and same track in mind.
Because what happens a lot is, like, you refer someone out to another person, and then they'll lose the number. Say you write it down, like, it's the older days. They'll lose that number, forget about it by the time they get, like, later on. Yeah. And then, like, they'll be like, oh, it's been 4 days now. I'm not even going to reach out, you know? But if you get it in the app, that notification right away, they're going to log back on again, you know?
That's it. All they have to do is click accept. And then the other provider will reach out and go ahead, talk to them, and schedule them. Yeah. Done. It's like a matter of 2 seconds.
Yeah.
So I think, and that's really the, and again, it leads back to, you know, that's why I turned into this route of helping health professionals, because I realized, well, I can help hundreds of clients, but if I help health professionals, I can help millions.
Millions, yeah.
And so I realized, okay, I have a knack where I can help health professionals, allow them to make a bigger impact in their community, which can help more people. But it's helping the health and wellness industry because, again, you know, we don't have big pharma, these big institutions, you know, that have money on our side. Instead, we have corporations that will, you know, pay us a, you know, low commission or take advantage of us and kind of just use us. And then our only other option is going out on our own.
Say, do it by yourself. Yeah.
Right? Like swimming with the sharks.
Yeah. It's hard to take $100 to a table of people that have $1 million, $2 million, you know?
So that's what we do with Cheery is we provide you with that low cost solution, provide you with the management and the marketing. So you can just start your own thing, whether it's, you know, a side gig or a full fledged business.
So dope, dude.
Yeah.
So you said you're going to start marketing and campaigning that next month.
Yeah. So we already are nationwide, but we're focused now in Philadelphia, where we'll start promoting not only for providers. We've reached out to other providers and are still promoting that, but even the user side. So meaning we'll start partnering with businesses and providing them, you know, like health solutions and stuff like that.
That's big, dude. Yeah. So with that coming up, man, like, what's next? What are you hungry for?
So that right there, I think I would like within a year to have 100 health professionals that I'm helping, and probably, I don't know if 100 within Philadelphia is going to be, but it might be within Philadelphia, Jersey, and like New York, the tri-state area. But that's really my first. Again, I like to make the bite size. I mean, in the future, again, I would love to be like just having a huge company that helps so many health professionals. Like right now, we just within 3 weeks, and I sometimes people are like, well, this is a little slow, but within 3 weeks, with ads, we started just bringing in a huge influx of clients to this one chiropractor, and she's actually out in San Francisco. But it's great, and I say that because a lot of times it takes longer than 3 weeks.
That's not slow.
Yeah, well,
people have no idea.
You know? Well, I think that's exactly they don't have an idea. They want it quick. And we coach her as well. We do the coaching, but I think it's important to realize because with our expertise, that allows things to happen quicker. So you can just focus on putting that effort and that quality of services and value into your clients and your patients and stuff.
Yeah.
And then we can do the other stuff that just gives you headaches. But with that, that got me super stoked because we just started. I mean, she was from scratch. Like, and she's she's in one of our small businesses. So she's usually our enterprise software. And so that's, again, you know, a higher level, but she jumped in and she's starting just from scratch.
Right.
So it's super cool to help mold her from, you know,
The very beginning. Yeah.
That's exciting.
That's really exciting. So dope, dude. Well, peeps can be on the lookout for that, man. We'll get some of that like linked up, you know, like,
yeah, for sure.
This will be a few weeks out from coming out. This will be a few weeks out from going up, going live.
Okay,
so
cool,
like
cool.
around that time, like still be going up. So dude, you have anything else you want to like shout out at the end of the episode?
You know, man, no, I really appreciate you just putting time aside, just having me on.
Hell yeah.
Be able to tell my story and what I'm working on and stuff. So I appreciate it.
Hell yeah, it's been awesome, man. It's been a good one.
Yeah, everyone listening, I mean, if you want to reach out, questions, whether it's business stuff or clients or, you know, health, even if you have Crohn's, right? I have people reach out to me once in a while.
And I talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah, always feel free. Because it's just nice when you can talk about something relatable, who's gone through it and stuff like that. But feel free. It's at DR, right? Dr. Kyle Naylor. And that's all of my handles.
All
and of course,
hands,
you
guys.
Have like Cheery, which is the Chiry app.
Dope.
But yeah, so feel free to reach out on any of the platforms.
So we'll get all that stuff linked up in the show notes, dude. So you guys can go check that out like really easy, man. Kyle, thanks for coming on, brother.
Brother.
Dogs, peace.